so happy to be sharing with you again this morning, and we are working our way through the book of Philippians, and it has just been a fantastic study so far in learning about this book and what Paul has to say. So we're going to start in chapter 2 this morning, starting at verse 5, and let me read this. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Full stop. I mean, we could just go home right now. Oh, wait a minute. You are home. I could go home. Honestly, though, do we have to go any further? Let me say it again. Let this same attitude, purpose, and humble mind be in you and me, which was in Christ Jesus. That's the standard. I'm quite certain I haven't quite reached it yet. So I could just stop and work on it for a minute. Same attitude, the positivity, the joy, the peace that Jesus had. Same purpose, to love everyone and like them too. To give, to go. Same humble mind, laying it all down. Servanthood and sacrifice. This was Jesus. See, sometimes I wonder if I'm like better at some things than the other, or maybe you're good with the purpose thing, but the attitude struggles. It's great, you know, the people when you give and give and give, or if I give and give and give, but if behind closed doors I'm acting differently or talking differently or dishonoring, I feel like Jesus isn't paying much attention to the doing. It's like the screaming pride is so big, it's hard to see past it into the heart of service. Well, how many know when your children want to help out, there's a difference between a joyful, sincereful heart of love and service to you, rather just to be seen as a helpful person, and then, you know, the eye roll comes later? Or how many know that if we just love people when it's convenient, that, you know, they haven't offended me and they're nice to me, so I'll be nice to them, but I'm going to ignore the others, the ones that do offend me, or I'm going to dishonor those. We aren't lovers of people, are we? Not like Jesus. We're selective. We're poorly motivated and doing it for show. Ouch. Wow. I'm just like a couple minutes in. I'm already like feeling the ouch on this. See, the religious people of Jesus' day was kind of like that. The Pharisees, they believed they were in the right, but clearly they could not have been more wrong. And most people, they wouldn't see through it, and they wouldn't see through it today because the facade is so good. But we know, how many know, Jesus sees it all. He sees it all. And sometimes we don't even see it because we're blinded by our own selves. I think about it often, how the enemy is just so good at deceiving us and leading us and under a mask of good intentions and a right heart. See, that's the problem with deception. You don't actually know you're deceived. Let's just pause right now and say, Jesus, if there's any place in my life where I am a victim of a blind spot, that you would reveal it to me right now. We can't see past our own blind spots, so we constantly need to ask Jesus to reveal the truth about it. Let's keep going. Verse 9. Because of that obedience, he says, God lifted him up. God lifted Jesus up high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever. So that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long dead and buried, would bow and worship before Jesus and call out in praise that he is the master of it all. See, every knee will bow, it says, over the earth, in the earth, under the earth. Humility releases exaltation. See, the lower you stoop, the higher you soar. Jesus was greatness. Jesus is greatness. We just think we are. But he actually was. Yet he let it all go and he laid it all down for love. See, we say we love, but we fight for recognition. And we say we're here to serve, but we long for status. I'm called, though. There was no one more called than Jesus. There was no one more entitled than Jesus. There was no one that had more valuable words to say than Jesus. Yet he laid it all down. He kept silent and he did it for love. We don't love, we fight. Hidden behind a pretense of a love facade. We love certain people well. And others we play passive-aggressive games with. I know I'm coming across pretty strong, but you guys know what I'm talking about. This is not a life of love, and it should not be confused as such. It's manipulation, it's pride, it's selfish, and it is not Jesus. It is not Jesus' story, and it should not be mine. It may not be overt in my life or in your life, but I feel like sometimes on the inside, we just fight for our placement. Maybe we've convinced ourselves that we deserve more, that we've been pushed down or not allowed to flourish like it says we should flourish in the Word. We've not been given the space, the role that God's given us. Let me ask you this. If God has given it to you, then why don't you have it? If I'm wondering why I haven't stepped into a role that God's given me, I think the first finger I should point at is me. Maybe I'm the problem. Craig and I were talking this week, and we were talking about different things and just problems and issues that arise in our life. And I said, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the problem. Sometimes if I'm looking at everybody else thinking they're the problem, really it's me. And I feel like that is just such a healthy way, family, for us to look at our lives and our situations. It's not them. It's me first. See, some of us just can't get out of our own way. And it takes a very healthy and strong person to look inside and fix themselves first. The Philippians, Paul said, were doing a good job. And he wanted them to know this. He wanted them to understand that they have been doing a good job in loving and in leading and in learning. And he wanted to encourage them to stay the course and not get off track. In fact, he said to step it up a little bit, and he was calling them higher. And that's what I want to encourage us today. Maybe you're doing a good job. Maybe you're not misplacing blame in your life. Maybe you are introspective and you take a hard look at yourself daily to say, is it me? Can I be better? Can I change? Can I grow? But I'm telling you what, you can, and I can call you higher this morning. Verse 12 and 13, what I'm getting at, he says, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Wow. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. The energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Wow, these are powerful words. In the Amplified, it says, not in your own strength, but it is God who all the while effectively is at work within you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. See, we aren't expected to do this on our own. He helps us. He gives us the energy for him. Can really, can it get any easier than this? Both to will and to work, it says. He gives us the desire for the work, not just the ability to perform the work. So why do I worry that I'm not enough or I'm not going to be able to accomplish what he set before me in my life, what he's asked of me? Because he has planted the desire within you. He speaks the word over you and then deposits all the strength, all the time, all the qualifications and the means to accomplish it. Wow. It's everything. It's having your cake and eating it too. Guys, this is life. This is our Jesus story. It is an add water story. The water of the Holy Ghost, come on, to empower you. Not just to do it, but to kill it. And the Passion Translation says, God will continually revitalize you, implanting you with passion to do what pleases him. So why do I worry? He knows. He knows what I need, and he gives me what I need. And the bonus is, it's for his good pleasure to please him. It's for his satisfaction to meet the requirements of living a life for him and his delight, which is his enjoyment in you. As a parent, I want my kids to excel. Craig and I, we want Josiah and Faith to excel. And when Josiah was very, very little, we saw a musical gift and a musical interest on him. He was a toddler who would say to complete strangers, I want to be a worship leader when I grow up. Most of them would be like, a what? Like, they didn't even know what this was. These were not Christian people. These were like people in the store, you know. And he would just use these terms. We begin to provide him with access, with instruments, with resources, even just as a very little boy that would set him up to succeed and that he could enjoy and thrive. One of our best friends in the world, and he was a worship leader, he still is at the time and now, gave Josiah a real microphone like this when he was only 2 years old, I believe. Josiah would take this microphone with him to church every Sunday. We were church planning at the time in a movie theater in the city of Calgary in Canada. And he would hold this mic and sing with everything in him, everything. And there's just a couple pictures we're just going to throw up just so you can get an idea. This is one right here. He's just this cutest little face. And this is another one. This is just, shows the passion and the zeal Josiah had, even as a very little boy. He was just giving it all. The microphone was not on, just so you know, not plugged in, and it wasn't wireless. So there was that. But he would do this every Sunday, and he would sing. And then on Thursday nights, we had a revival night service that we would do in a church that we rented out. And after the worship team would practice and do their sound check, Josiah would run up on the stage when they were done, and he would stand there in the middle of the stage, and with everything in him, he would sing, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Do you know the song? Yes, you do. Yeah, and he would sing that over. He just knew the one line. He was very little, and he would just sing, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend over and over and over and over. This was every week. 4 weeks and weeks. See, it was our good pleasure to provide him with the ability to lean in with the desires that God had put in his heart. It was our satisfaction to give him what he needed to do this. And through the years and the guitars and the piano and the lessons and the atmospheres, hear me, the atmospheres, huge one, that we would put him in and bring him in to flame into the, to fan the flame of desire and passion in his heart. Side note, just to tag onto that, we never lift our kids home from church events, functions, weekends, retreats, camps, conference, seminars, anything, worship burns, all of it. We never left our kids home. They never got childcare. They came. Was it hard? Yes. Very hard. It would have been easier not to bring them. We did it anyway. We did it anyway. Now, that fruit is shown. The friendship with God is evident in their lives. The years of pursuit radiates through Josiah's life. The fruit will speak for itself. And then we all win. Parents, get them in the presence of God. Fuel their passions. And this is the heart of parents, and this is the heart of God. Again, God will continually, he says, revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. Now we take it a step further, because we have expectation on our lives. He calls us higher. Verse 14, to do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted. A breath of fresh air in this polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night, into the dark places of people's lives. So I'll have a good cause, Paul is saying, to be proud of you on the day Christ returns. You will be living proof that I didn't go through all this for nothing. This is the point. What's the point? This is the point. Renee, what's the point? What are you talking about? This is the point. If we live our Jesus story correctly, we win. We live our Jesus story for us and for them. That's the point. The world needs him. They don't know him, and they don't know they need him. They don't get it. We know it. We get it. Maybe we get it. I hope we get it. Get it. We need to stop complaining and stop bickering and stop fighting and stop being difficult with each other and start being Jesus. Love everyone. We either believe this stuff or we don't. Verse 17, even if I am executed, Paul says, here and now, I rejoice in being an element in the offering of your faith that you make on Christ's altar, a part of your rejoicing. But turnabout's fair play, you must join me in my rejoicing. Whatever you do, he says, don't feel sorry for me. Okay, I love this. I love this. I love this. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for me. I might die. Yes. What's your point? Don't feel sorry for me. I'm living the dream and dying for him. When I said yes, Paul's saying, I meant yes. It wasn't a yes most of the time when the outlook looks positive, but it was a yes all day, air day, yes. In jail, out of jail. In freedom, in persecution. In life, yes. In death. It's a yes, yes. So, yes. Jesus is worth it. Celebrate with me. Don't feel sorry for me. One of the workout programs I do is called 21 Day Fix Extreme. Not currently doing it, but have. And it's a tough one. I've done it a few times. And it's like take all the hardest cardio type workouts, all the training, the cardio training possible, put it together in a workout regimen. But before we start, let's grab weights to hold in our hands while we run and jump and lunge and fly through the air like crazy people. Yeah, let's do that. Let's hold weights while doing cardio, because that's not crazy. Autumn, the trainer, at one point says one to her people on the video, are you crying? There's no crying here. I love that. I say it all the time now. I feel like that's what Paul's saying. Are you sad for me? Are you crying for me because I'm in jail and I might die for my faith? There's no crying here. I chose this. I want this life. This is a good life, and there is no crying for me. Instead, celebrate with me. congratulate me, high five me, because I might get to die for Jesus and prove this was all worth it. You're worth it, and he's worth it. Whatever you do, he said, don't feel sorry for me. This isn't for nothing. Friends, this isn't for nothing. What you're doing isn't for nothing. Your Jesus story is worth it. My story is worth it. Sometimes you might feel like what you're doing isn't enough, that you are not enough, that you fight, that you bicker, that you complain, that you gossip, that you are one way and the behind closed doors, you are the other way. And at the beginning of the message, Renee, you already offended me, you already hurt me, and I'm barely listening anymore, and I'm just not good enough. But I'm telling you, you're good enough and you're better, and I'm calling you higher because I know you are capable of living the life that God has called you to, because you're worth it and he's worth it. And I don't feel sorry for you this morning. I'm congratulating you this morning on a job well done. You're trying. You're trying. It is worth it. See, sometimes I know the sacrifice seems like a lot and the return seems like a little. Sometimes the effort is a lot and no one seems to see it and no one seems to encourage you along the way. Or maybe the journey seems super slow and you thought you'd be further ahead. Sometimes the long route, though, is not the wrong route. And obstacles often disguise themselves as obstructions when really they're just hurdles meant to be jumped over. And sometimes it feels like you have those weights in your hands. But when we stop at the hurdle, we miss our cue to pursue our assignment at any cost. Don't stop at your hurdle. It's not a wall. It's a hurdle. See, the temptation is to stop, to be misled, to misinterpret, to coast like you see other people. It's not a valid option. Don't coast. Call yourself higher. If you feel like you have no one in your corner, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm telling you, I'm rooting for you. Maybe you've never heard me say it before. I'm telling you now, I'm rooting, I'm championing you. I believe in you, and I believe that as God's called you to something great, don't stop because you're not feeling the encouragement. Keep going and keep growing. You're not doing it for people anyway. It's for Jesus. He's worthy and he gave it all and he is our example and people aren't. Even when our leaders fail us, keep going anyway. He did it for you, so let's do it for those people out there who don't know what they need. This is your Jesus story. No one around me may be doing it, but I'm doing it. When Josiah was 2, holding that mic, singing, I'm a friend of God, that was cool. 16 years later, to see him lead worship and on the stage in his room by himself when no one's looking. Out of overflow for his love for Jesus, that's cool. During those 16 years, there were ups and there were downs. There were highlights and there were lowlights. Sometimes no lights. He thrived, he struggled. He had great friend groups, not so great ones. Sometimes he could see his future, sometimes he couldn't. But his Jesus story was worth it. And at 18, he's just getting started. Only just begun. And so have you. I don't care if you're 18, 42, 68, 99. You're only just begun. Because as long as you have breath and life on this earth, there is a difference you can make in your Jesus story. Jesus loves your story. He's for your story, and it's a very good one. And it matters. It actually matters because there are people hinging on the other side of your story. Jesus wrote your story. He has given it to you. And now you just need to live it for him. Live the Jesus story he proved was worth dying for. It's as good as it is just exactly as it is. And even better, as you lay it down at his feet. As you and I let the same attitude, the same purpose, and the same humble mind that he lived with live in us. Full stop. Thank you for joining us today here at Cross Point. Thank you for listening for the last 20 minutes or so of me talk in the book of Philippians. If you need something, if you need prayer, I encourage you to comment and reach out to one of our team members. If you need Jesus to come into your life, I encourage you to reach out and ask for him today. The Bible says he is as close as the mention of his name. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for all that are listening and watching today. I thank you for their lives on this earth. I thank you that they are living in this time and in this season in history. I thank you that there has been no greater time to step out and live our Jesus story than right now. I pray for faith to rise up. I pray for hope to rise up. I pray for people who love you and who have chosen to give their lives to have a newfound courage today to live that dream and to live that story. I come against the assignment of the enemy to distract, to destroy, and to tear down. And I just release your goodness and your hope and your healing over them right now. Father, let your kingdom come. Jesus, let your will be done. In your name and for your glory. Amen.